League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good evening, this is Love Sport. You are listening to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show, where everybody in the studio is buzzing. We're happy, we're delighted. The mood is high. And the reason the mood is high is because the ladies have beaten Enfield Town.
There we go.
Hurrah, 3-1
well
at Colston Avenue. Katie Stanley with two and Helen Ogle with one as well. And of course, Nick, the under-18s have returned to winning ways, as per the AFC Wimbledon Twitter, with a 1-0 victory at Cambridge United in the EFL Youth Alliance on Saturday. So everything's fine, mate.
We're all off to support the under-18s and the ladies this season.
There we go.
There we go. And that will cheer us up immensely,
you're
I
great.
Think.
You know, full debuts to Max Sanders, Paul Ossiew yesterday.
Yes.
Wonderful stuff. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, the happy, the jovial AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport. Myself, Matt Beadle, joined by Nick Draper of the 9 Years podcast Crew. I don't want to get more miserable as I speak, Nick. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. How are you, mate?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's, I just, before I came on this evening, like maybe about 10, 15 minutes ago, I just saw a tweet from somebody who supports a different football club than I and myself, just saying, you know, how nice it is to wake up on a Sunday morning knowing that you'd won the day before. And I was just like, I wonder what that feels like. It's now got to the point where you just, I don't know, if you just a numb feeling. You just kind of expect it. In fairness, away at Peterborough, you do expect. We didn't expect to get anything out of the game. So it's not too bad a feeling this Sunday, but it is also just a case of it's now October. Well, it will be by the time we'll win a football match.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you're right, going to Peterborough, top scorers in the division, I believe. So, you know, it's no great shakes to lose there and concede three goals, but score two in the process. Mm-hmm. But when we look at the stats, which you've kindly given me, of course, that is now 11 games without a win in League One. I like the way that you put it in brackets, 12 in all comps, 13 if you include the EFL trophy as well. The away form, we know, is dismal. Played six, lost six. There are three consecutive defeats. That's the worst run since January/February earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And that's one win in the last 18.
Mm. So, yeah. So we're going to try and be positive. hey, look, that worst run, I must say, I was thinking about this worst run we've had in consecutive defeats, January-February time, that January-February run was broken by the West Ham game, if I recall correctly. It was four defeats on the bounce in the league, but at least we had that West Ham game in the middle to perk us up. We've had no such luck in the cups. We best not discuss cups actually this season, because that will bring back bad memories. Yes, but I mean, it is what it is. You can't dress it up. You can't pretend it's not there. It's black and white. One win in the last 18 games. Yeah, 11 games in the league without a win. I've never known anything like it. To get to October without having won a game, I've never experienced it. I don't know how many of our fans would ever have experienced it. So it gets to the point when you just have to start looking, really, you do have to start looking at the positives, because otherwise you're just going to be repeating the same things week after week after week, and we keep making the same mistakes. So we could keep on talking about how we keep making the same mistakes. We can keep talking about the fact we kept one clean sheet this season. We can start talking about the fact that no team in the division have picked up fewer points than us, not even Bolton. Bolton, if they didn't have the points deduction, would be level on points with us right now. So we could keep on speaking about these things. It would be thoroughly depressing, so we have to start taking the positives out of every performance, I think, because that's the only way we're going to get out of this.
Absolutely agree with you. I understand George Jones was rather downbeat last week and was almost at the end of his tether, done with it. And Charlie pulled him up on it and said, "Lambert, come on, mate, you're a super fan. You need to be positive."
Yes. I mean, I'm not sure what George would do if he sort of... I don't know. Like, would he stop going? No.
No, never.
Never. So, I mean, it must be... Imagine, I don't know.
Perhaps he's just stopped wearing his Wimbledon top every day. Maybe you take it down one day a week.
I think it's been skin grafted on. Yeah. I think he sleeps in it. I think it's like a full body tattoo, to be honest with you.
Well, the positives that we must speak about, one of which is the fact that, you know, we don't like to talk about Berry's omission being a positive, but as things stand, you've only got two places to climb to get out of what is a relegation zone. We can't really call it that so early in the season, but only two places to climb.
True.
This season. Yes. So that's one thing to think about.
It is. There are only three relegation spots that we are in danger of falling into come the end of the season. And that is something, I suppose. I suppose if you look at it right now, though, we are, what are we, 6 points? Already six. We are in the bottom three, mm-hmm. and we are 6 points adrift. So, yes, we can hope that having lost at least one relegation place, that helps us out. But as it stands, we're in the mix. We're right in the middle of it. We're right in the thick of it. So,
and when you look at those clubs down there as well, Portsmouth, of course, two games in hand. Mm-hmm. So that you imagine they might, even though they're not playing too well at the moment, they did win at the weekend. Of course, they might pull themselves out of it. Not that they're really in it, to be fair. But we are, like you said, we're going to remain with these positives. Mm-hmm. Scored twice for the first time in the league this season.
Yes, we did. And one of those was from Anthony Wordsworth, who is back. And
massive.
We think he's going to be absolutely, yes, massive is the word, huge for us having him back for many reasons. I mean, could you argue he's our most talented player? That's a good question. Marcus Force, obviously, we missed yesterday because he was suspended after the red card against Bristol Rovers, and he's got quality. Wordsworth has got quality. So that gives you reasons for encouragement that those players are in there. What you also noticed yesterday, I think that was a difference yesterday, was that when Wordsworth scores his goal, we're 3-1 down at the time. Now, the week before, we were 3-1 down, heads dropped, it was game over. I know we had the man sent off, but the players had given up on it, it was game over. This week, we were 3-1 down, and we still went and tried to make a game of it. And actually, Wordsworth's goal, which is a great strike, about 25 yards out, hits it low. But at the time the ball's rolled to him, we've actually got four players ahead of the ball in the box. This is unheard of for us. We barely get one player in the box at any time. So we actually looked like we were going to say, look, do you know what? Peterborough are a very good side. They've got so much attacking quality. We spoke about it before the game. We've been speaking about it all season. It was no surprise. Issa got two goals. We know that Madison is a quality player. Then they've got Tony as well. So are you going to keep a clean sheet against that? No. So why not go for it? Why not try and just make a game of it? And we did. And for the first time this season, actually, it was exciting. It was actually exciting to watch us because we were... We left ourselves remarkably open at the back. And yes, Nathan Trott was probably our man of the match off the back of it because he had a lot of work to do. A whole lot of work to do, actually. They hit the bar as well. But do you know what? If you're going to go down, if you're going to be down the bottom, if you're going to struggle, at least make a game, but at least make it exciting. Give us something. And actually, following the way that game finished, it's very rare this season that we finished a game on a high. And yes, we lost the game, but there was encouragement at the end of that game, and it actually made you look forward, and it's actually made me look forward to next Saturday, because I'm thinking it's a home game, it's a winnable game against Rochdale, and I feel like we're actually going to look to take the game to them and make a game of it and pick up. We are due a win, it's going to happen at some point, but at least you're not going there thinking, well, we might do an Ipswich type performance where we try and defend for 80 minutes and keep men behind the ball and try and nick something on the counter. This one's actually showing the players we had. Wordsworth, like we've mentioned, Sanders, who's really good on the ball, who can make things happen for us. You start to get a little bit of encouragement.
Well, that's what I like to hear, Nick.
I know.
There we go.
A little bit of positivity.
That's all it takes, a little bit of light.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, I don't know what...
Okay.
I'm a little bit unsure of myself now. I've forgotten what it's like to be positive.
Well, we're not going to bring it back down, but we are going to dissect the game somewhat. And listening to what Glyn Hodges had to say after the game, of course, we're going to get onto the fact that Glyn Hodges is currently the interim boss at Wimbledon. That will come soon. So don't worry, we're not going to ignore that. Anybody that's listening, that is going to come up. We are going to look ahead to the Rochdale game as well. And if you want to get in touch with us, easy to do so, 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number or tweet us as well at Love Sport Radio. But Glyn Hodges, after the game, said, you look at the goals we conceded and they could have easily been avoided, which is the disappointing thing. And that is one of the disappointing things, because you do look at that goals and that first goal, you mentioned Issa, of course, just sort of tiptoed between Ryan Delaney and Paul Ossie. It was just such an easy goal to score.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the first goal and the third goal, and they've come from us giving the ball away cheaply, so cheaply. And then the second goal that you mentioned, Issa there, that comes on counter-attack. And again, far too open. And you're right, it echoes of a certain goal. We conceded a second goal, bizarrely, as well, up at the place we don't like to mention, mm-hmm. where there just didn't seem to be anyone putting pressure or challenging. He did waltz through. It was far too easy. And that's the problem. Like I say, we seem to play with three centre-halves. We started again with three centre-halves on Saturday. And all that positivity is immediately gone out the window, isn't it? we play with...
Can't help it. It's natural.
It's natural when you've lost, well, how many games? 8 games in the league. 8 out of 11. I've actually realised that's a quarter of our fixtures this season. So 44-game season now because there's no Bury.
It is staggering. And when you look at another club, whether they would... Or, I mean, you look at Watford. Obviously, they got rid of Javi Gracia, bought in Kike Sanchez Flores. Yeah, I mean, Wally Downs isn't the manager at the moment.
No.
Well, he is the manager, but he's currently not in the dugout at the moment. But would anybody else but Wally Downs maybe not have lasted that long?
That's an impossible... I don't know. I think you have to remember what happened last season. The situation we were in, which was a lot worse than the current
Absolutely.
Situation we're in, despite the fact we've not won a game in October, but we were a lot. How many stupid points adrift? 10 points adrift, including goal difference, in going into March, February, March time. So no, I don't know if someone else had come in. I'm not sure somebody else coming in perhaps would have done that job to keep us up. You don't know. You don't know how they'd have gone about it. You don't know how Kevin Nolan would have gone about it. We don't know how. And don't forget, Kevin Nolan was actually offered the job before Wally was offered it. Oh, wow, yeah. So when you say that out loud, you suddenly think that actually did happen. It was thought that Kevin Nolan was the... Yeah.
Would have been quite a bizarre appointment, that, wouldn't it?
It was totally out of left field.
Do you feel like now any... I guess it's because the fans are so intertwined with AFC Wimbledon. Fans are intertwined with all the clubs that they support, but at AFC Wimbledon, there is an even bigger bond because of the fact that, essentially, you created the club. Is it a big thing that when a manager comes in, he has to have maybe some kind of connection?
This is a point that comes up fairly regularly amongst fans in terms of, because people are already looking ahead to when Wally leaves and saying, when Wally, because he will do one day, however soon that is or whatever, do we always have to have that somebody that has a connection, or do we want somebody who's come that has no connection whatsoever and comes in with fresh eyes and doesn't have that baggage, almost that emotional attachment? And I see arguments for and against it. I think I would argue that so how many permanent managers have we had now as AFC Wimbledon? Wally Downs is our fifth permanent manager. We had Nicky English, who did a temporary charge, and Simon Bassey, temporary charge on two occasions. Arguably the two most important were Dave Anderson and Terry Brown, and they had no connection whatsoever prior to joining us. Obviously Terry Eames, Wally Downs and Neil Ardley had all played for Wimbledon. So, and you could argue that Neil Ardley did a fantastic job, and he did. I know I'm going to get grief for people listening, okay? I know there are going to be people on guest books out there that are listening to me talk right now going, I can't believe he's going to praise Neil Ardley on the show. Neil Ardley did a fantastic job for us. You cannot deny that.
Is there a consensus then that he didn't, from a group of fans?
I think the way it ended for him, people are being far too harsh on the way it ended to him. Yes, it didn't end great. He kept us in League Two. He got us promoted out of League Two, and he kept us in League One for two seasons. You're telling me that a club of our size, that's not a fantastic achievement? I will argue with that. I will die on the hill for that one. You could argue that it's different. I mean, the examples I give you there, you've got examples of people with Wimbledon connections, people without Wimbledon connections. The thing that ties them all together is they all did a fantastic job for us. They all did a great job for us, and Wally did a great job for us last season in keeping us in the division from the situation we were in. So it's not for me, having a Wimbledon connection, if the next manager, whoever it might be, in however long a time it might be, whether or not he has a Wimbledon connection, is either way, it doesn't bother me personally. Other people have different views.
Okay. Oh, I like this, Nick. We're getting into the nitty gritty of it. If you do have another view, and if you disagree with what Nick is saying, or if you agree, of course, with what Nick is saying, get in touch. 0208 7020 558. Tweet us as well at Love Sport Radio. Plenty, plenty more to come on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport, and I am Matt Beadle on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show, here with Nick Draper from the 9 Years podcast, who has put a question out to listeners prior to coming on the show. And that question was, were we much better yesterday, or did the scoreline flatter us? Mixed reports have made their way to us so far today, and we've had a response from a few people, one of which is Oliver Kirby, who says, we were woeful in the first half in possession. Again, brackets, shock. Five at the back is just not working right now. Second half changes made improvement when we had the ball. Obviously going for it and chasing a two-goal deficit left the door wide open. Kind of agreeing with what you were saying.
Yeah, so what we didn't mention in the first bit was we started 3-5-2 and then at half-time we made two subs. We switched to 4-4-2 and we were looking, like I say, to play a bit more football. We actually had more possession by quite a big margin, actually, which is a first, I think, this season for us to have more possession than our opponents, which shows, like I said, that the aim was there just to get us on the ball a little bit more. Sanders and Wordsworth, like we said, they can get on the ball and they can make things happen. You'd expect, in those terms, you'd expect Hartigan to be in there as well, but wasn't involved. So we went 4-4-2. We went for it, two wide players. And, of course, naturally, yeah, that's what happens. You leave yourself open at the back and Peterborough move the ball quickly and get in behind us and cause all sorts of problems. And, yes, by the end of it, we could have lost that more heavily.
Mm.
But like I said, you're always going to have that risk with playing a team like Peterborough. Would you rather go there and actually have a little bit of excitement, like I say, try and create chances, try and score goals and lose? Or do you want to do what we've pretty much been doing for a long time, which is keep things tight defensively, not make any mistakes, not try and play football, but play very basic football. Balls, we've been playing a lot this season of balls into the channels, working off the second balls, working off throw-ins and what have you. It's not very entertaining to watch and it hasn't worked for us. So would you rather go, and we've lost 7 times out of 10 before yesterday, so why not just, if we're going to lose away at Peterborough, at least give it a go, and we did. And I think fans appreciate it. Yes, okay, we could have lost more heavily, but like I say, at the end, we made it nervous because we actually attempted to go forward and create our own problems and have the opposition actually worry about us for a change, which was nice, even though they might argue they weren't that worried.
It's that fine line, isn't it, that you say there with football being a results business or an entertainment business. And I think as fans, it's difficult because you want to see your team stay in League One. You want to see your team someday sustain a challenge to maybe get out of League One and get into the Championship. But ultimately, you go to football matches because you want to be entertained. You don't want to be bored to death because there's nothing particularly enjoyable about that. And mentioning Peterborough again, I think only one of their goals hasn't been scored by their front three so far this season, which is an incredible statistic. So yeah, like you say, they do get goals. So the fact that Wimbledon went at Peterborough, the fact that Glyn Hodges, like you said, more possession is maybe suggesting that he wants his players to get on the ball more, which again is always funny when you have these instances when an assistant comes in having been sat beside the manager for so long and then almost implements a slightly different style of football.
Yeah, it must be so awkward.
Yeah,
like I don't envy Glyn's position whatsoever right now, because clearly a part of your role is not. But hey, that's also a good thing, because what you can read into that is that Glyn has his own opinion on matters or might want to do things certainly differently. And I don't think Glyn would be reticent in saying those things. What you don't want is somebody as your number two that's just going to agree with you and back up every single decision you make. Glyn's clearly got his own ideas and clearly he'll put those to Wally if Wally decides to go with it or not. That's his decision. But at least he's got that voice there that's going to challenge him and ask questions of him. And that would be a positive moving forward. But as you're right, in the current situation, the current setup, yeah, you want to enforce your own ideas. You also don't want to create an environment where there are mixed messages, because you just don't know how long, you don't know how long Glyn's going to be in charge of affairs. We don't have a clue what's going to happen in the week. We don't know really the build up to Peterborough, how the news of Wally's suspension came on Wednesday. How far in advance of that did the club know of the FA charge? How far in advance of that had they privately already spoken to Glyn and Wally and told them of the situation? And how much of the preparation for the game on Saturday was it exclusively Glyn's? Did it start off with Wally having a plan of how to go about the game? They started working with players out on the Monday, Tuesday, and then it all go check. I just don't know. So Glyn's situation was really, really difficult. You could perhaps argue that at the end of it, where Glyn really put his stamp on it was at half-time. 2-0 down, made the changes, made two substitutions, brought Mitch Pinnock back in. Pinnock's not even been in the squad for the last few weeks before that. Suddenly he's in the squad and then he's getting 45 minutes. So that's where Glyn's probably said, right, this is my position where I can be confident that this is now on my head and I'm the guy running the show. And he did all right, didn't he, second half? We won the second half.
He did do all right. He kind of, you know, he kind of says it was a bit awkward as well. We are going to get onto that on that FA charge to Wally Down shortly. But you mentioned Hartigan there. Him, Nesta and Callum Bailly were all rested. What did you make of those decisions?
Callum Bailly and Nesta, I've thought for a little while, have needed a rest. Very young players needed to be taken out the firing line for a little bit. Hartigan had had a rest, didn't go up to Buckinghamshire a few weeks ago. Another one that, yeah, can't be playing every week at the moment. Doing them no favours whatsoever for their development. Very, very young players. So I had no issue with that whatsoever. I also think there's a little bit, and I know we'll talk about it later, but I also think with Callum Bailly, there's a little element of looking ahead to next Saturday, because Delaney's come in. Obviously, Rod McDonald's been injured. Mm-hmm. Delaney's come in. Don't think Delaney can play next week against his parent club. So you'll probably find that Delaney goes out and then Callum Bailly swaps back in. So that's probably some thinking in there as well, in terms of minutes. And like I say, Nesta just needed a rest. Wouldn't surprise me if Nesta came back in next week as well.
Okay. We've had a tweet from, a customary tweet, I should say, from Mark Hendricks, who said, "I think it's going to be a long, long time until we win again." Mark, we wanted positivity on this show today. I guess that's why they call it the Blues. Nice. Mm-hmm. When we keep losing. And after that first half performance, sorry, seems to be... I should have read this before I read it out. Very good from you, Mark. Sorry seems to be the hardest word. If only we had a player who would sacrifice himself for the team.
I'm not going to dignify anything with that. Just, no.
Is he an Elton fan? Is that, what's the crack?
He knows that I am not a fan of Elton John.
Oh, is that why?
Yes.
I thought he was just paying homage to the Watford fan show that we've just had on.
That might be that as well, but all in an effort to wind me up, I imagine.
I quite like it.
I think it's going to... Was that a song from Elton John, A Long, Long Time?
I don't know what that reference is, to be fair, A Long, Long Time.
I think it's going to be... I think that is an Elton John reference.
Is it a lyric, maybe? I'm not sure.
How did Watford get on yesterday, by the way?
Yes, absolutely. Watford lost 2-0 to Wolves, yet to win a game in the Premier League.
Ouch.
This season.
That's...
They're on a terrible run. I think 11 games, similar to AFC Wimbledon. Do you know what? It's quite funny because they're on a very similar run to AFC Wimbledon. And as things stand, they haven't won a game in the Premier League. AFC Wimbledon haven't won a game in League One. So we have these shows back to back, and it's quite extraordinary that the two teams are kind of running parallel at the moment.
We haven't been hammered like 8-0.
No.
Thankfully.
And I very much doubt that you will be.
No, I don't think we will either. That must be quite embarrassing to lose 8-0. Having lost to that same team in an FA Cup final 6-0. Anyway, not here to talk about them. In terms of Mark's... The only thing I'd pick out from Mark's tweet that I would comment on, funnily enough, I was thinking about this, that's why they call it the Blues. I'm sick of actually playing... we have this thing about playing in our change kit away from home, but at the moment, we seem to be on a run of just playing teams that play in blue. It's very boring. I was thinking about this. So random, I know. But I think we played, if I've got this right, we play Shrewsbury, who play in sort of blue, and then Coventry, who play in sky blue, fair enough. And then we have Bristol Rovers, who play in blue, and then Peterborough, who play in blue. And next week we've got Rochdale, who play in blue. And then the week after that, we play Southend, who play in blue. And the week after that, we play Portsmouth, who play in blue. It's very boring. It's a very blue division.
It is a very blue division.
I think we need to, I don't know.
I'd love to look at the stats as to whether it's the bluest division we've ever had.
It's got to be the bluest division.
It's got to be up there, isn't it?
Anyway.
Right, you've mentioned Mitch Pinnock earlier, and we've had a tweet in from Lee Finch, who is, you know, not enamoured entirely with Mitch Pinnock nor Kwesi Appiah, but he's brought to our attention the fact that Mitch Pinnock has been on Instagram tonight. He says, acting the fool. You've seen the clip. What's your take?
I'm not sure. There's a lot of context we need for what's happening. So this must have been about, looking at the time, Mitch Pinnock was on Instagram about 3 hours ago. So what, about 5 o'clock, 5:30, something like that? Looks like he's at some dinner thing, just been playing the fool, basically, doing a bit of karaoke, a few little games and what have you. I think you've got an issue with social media when you're not doing well. So... From what I've seen of Mitch Pinnock's Instagram, I don't have an issue with him doing that in his private life and what have you. The problem is, as soon as you put it onto social media, it's no longer your private life, you're sharing it. And fans don't want to see players messing about, having a laugh, having a good time when you've not won since April and you're one win in 18 games. So sometimes you just wish Mitch Pinnock... Oh dear!
It's hard, isn't it? I think it's really, really difficult, and this is a conversation that we can have over and over again, and we saw it in the summer with Jesse Lingard and his antics out in Miami with Marcus Rashford and the abuse that he got for that. And ultimately, what Jesse Lingard was doing, you know, he's just a 20-something on holiday with his mates. It wasn't the worst thing to do. Looked like he'd potentially been enjoying himself a bit too much, so we say, which, you know, as a professional, maybe isn't the right thing to do, but everybody has to let their hair down every so often. Mitch Pinnock is out, like you said, he's just having a bit of fun. The key issue here is not that he's having fun, because you want your players to have fun. You want people to just enjoy their life. You know, when you have a bad day at work, you don't think, crikey, I've got to go home and be miserable now, because the last thing you want to do is take your misery back home with you. So what Mitch Pinnock is doing, I guess, isn't the worst thing in the world. Like you said, the problem is that he's putting it on social media, and social media is an issue altogether. But when you are a professional footballer, and when you know that fans are going to be looking at what you're doing, maybe, just maybe, have a think and go, do you know what? Me singing in a karaoke bar with my friends after we lost at the weekend, and the fact that we haven't won a game all season, probably isn't going to be the best thing to show to my followers, to my fans. If he just put a picture up of his meal, not the worst thing in the world. People need to eat.
Exactly.
Right. But to be there singing and dancing, like I said, it's such a blurry line now, isn't it, between actually just being a person and being a footballer trying not to have fun.
Yeah, I think you sort of summed it up there when you said it's one of those instances where, as a player, you've just got to stop and think for a moment. And unfortunately, that Mitch Pinnock and thinking don't particularly go together. They're not bedfellows, I don't think. And we had an issue with Mitch recently as well with Instagram, which I won't describe because we like to think this is a family show. It was an X-rated Instagram, which was just really daft and really silly. And I think we need to be... I do think the club needs to get involved, actually, with our social media as well, because we had another incident during the week which was so... I don't know what word to use. I use daft, which is a very soft word to use because I want to use a stronger word, from one of our players who decided to retweet a player who plays for a different football club.
Oh, gosh.
Of all the clubs that player could play for, don't retweet that club. That was honestly so... because I could start ranting again about this subject because of that club. It was stunning. You know what the word... I don't know how to explain my feelings on it, to be honest with you, because then I get wound up again.
I feel like you're getting wound up across the desk.
You can see I'm getting wound up. So one of our players decided to retweet because that team up there played Liverpool in the Cup in the week, and obviously they must have known each other from previous clubs or something along the line. So he retweeted a photo of him playing against Liverpool. People say to me, because I've ranted about this football club many, many times, they say, well, we can't expect the players to have the same depth of feeling as we do for that team after what happened. And I understand you can't have the same depth of feeling, but you can certainly understand the depth of feeling. And that understanding would lead you to not retweet one of their players currently playing for them. I think it's incredible that he did it, to be honest with you. And it wound up people at the time. It's winding me up now thinking about it. And we need to get a handle on our social media because... some of our players are not handling social media very well at this current time. A few weeks ago, we had Rod McDonald on the show, did a fantastic job in exactly what we wanted to hear from one of our players. I thought it was really good, and he came across so well. And then you've got these things that let other players down, and it really shouldn't happen. I can't believe he's retweeted. Thinking about it now, I'm just like, it winds me up more than Mitch Pinnock having a song on Instagram.
I've got to tell you, listeners, the blood be boiling in this studio right now. Nick Draper is physically shaking. So we are going to move on, because I think you're right. And just to quickly finish on that, I actually think that regardless of what the argument is about players having the depth of the knowledge and the understanding that fans do have, I do think it should be a prerequisite when they sign for a club. Like when a player signs for Man United or Liverpool, for example, they're not going to retweet each other unless they're playing for England. It's just not going to happen. So when a player does sign for AFC Wimbledon, he should be given an understanding that under no circumstances do you reference a certain club, talk about a certain club, interact with a certain club. I think that should happen. Just to finish on this, Gary Fletcher has responded to Lee Finch's tweet and just said, look, sadly, most clubs have players that probably do their stuff on Instagram. I think we need to concentrate on actually getting behind the players and not look for a reason to dig them out, essentially. We might just turn the corners. The AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
This is Love Sport Radio. You are listening to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show with me, Matt Beadle, here with the 9 years podcast guru that is Nick Draper. Right, Nick, we're going to move on to the elephant in the room and discuss Wally Downes and the fact that he has been suspended by AFC Wimbledon after he was charged by the FA over bets placed on games. This is allegedly 8 bets placed on matches between 30th of November 2013 and the 12th of July 2019. So quite recent. He's got up until October the 4th to respond to the charge. This is a murky, a grey area, another tricky one to discuss, isn't it?
Yeah. Very tricky one. I mean, look, I think the big conversation that I've seen on social media amongst our fans, or one of the points that's been raised, is that this is, people think this is it for Wally, that there's no coming back from this. I don't agree with that. I don't think we know, officially, we don't know enough about exactly what's gone on to make such judgments. I think some people have suggested that by suspending Wally, the club have almost sold him down the river or made an admission of guilt or whatever. I don't think it's that at all. I think the FA have charged him and the club have done the correct thing. I think that is the correct thing to do because it shows that we're taking it seriously as a club, that we should do with the reverence it deserves. It also gives us time to look into the issue ourselves, think about how we're going to respond, and we go for, we're basically waiting on what that response is going to be. I don't think that, we just don't know. We just don't know enough about it. What has come out unofficially, I think it was the Daily Mail reported the other day, said that, you know, the most recent bet that he had was on Millwall in the FA Cup. So Millwall beat us in the fifth round last season and they went on to a quarter final with Brighton. Mm-hmm. And he bet on that quarter final with Brighton. And that seems to have been the trigger to alert people or William Hill into investigating into, it's said to be William Hill, the bookmaker behind it. Again, this is a Daily Mail report. This could be, we don't know this 100% factually. They've looked into it. And from the other reports that have come out in terms of the size of the betting and the scale of it, I mean, 8 bets over 6 years. I mean, it's not like a Joey Barton situation where he was making however many, he was over 1,000, wasn't he, in a short space of time. So there's a lot of context we need to know before we can really make judgments or pronouncements or predictions on what's going to happen. Like we said earlier, all it has done in the short term for us is it's just another thing we've had to deal with this season. The people at the club, like Joe Palmer and David Charles and everyone, they must be tearing their hair out because it's just one thing after another this season. I can imagine that letter probably dropping on David Charles's desk.
Just the last thing you would have wanted, isn't it?
We've got another headache to have to deal with, another time pressure, because this will obviously take time to investigate and respond and what have you. I'm sure that everyone at the club will do the right thing for Wally. We just don't know exactly what that right thing is, because it could turn out that, you know, there is an issue here, and the club have to decide: do they need to offer Wally some help with some issues that he has, or is this being blown out of all proportion? It's going to be straightforward. You know, the FA have found to be right to bring the charge, and Wally's found guilty, and then whatever the punishment for that is it going to be? Does the club take a hard line on it and say, well, you've breached FA rules, so we have to terminate your contract, or are they going to say you've got an issue, so you're going to serve a suspension like other people in football have served, and then we're going to bring you back in, but we're going to help with your issues in the meantime? I don't know. There's so many unanswered questions. I think what would be interesting is to see is our response, which has to be in by Friday, and how much of that response is made public, because then that will give us more of an indication of where we stand with the whole situation. But, I mean, the bottom line is it's messy.
It is messy. And the original statement, like you said, that AFC Wimbledon came out with was very matter-of-fact, very short, very sweet, exactly how it should have been. On one hand, you can look at this and go, do you know what? It might be a convenient way to relieve Wally of his duties. On the other hand, there was another report in the Daily Mail, wasn't there, that kind of suggests, and again, this is all alleged because it is a report, that if he was to be sacked, Wally Downes, it's going to be with minimal compensation, as apparently he was on a non-contract. The story states that he didn't sign a contract when he joined Wimbledon, and that was primarily due to a disagreement over potential bonus payments. Is this actually the case? Is this complete nonsense?
Okay, so what we know for certain is, 100% certain, is that Wally did not sign any sort of long-term contract. He is on a rolling contract much as like everybody else in the whole country pretty much is. I know my contract is like that. You know, you can give a 1 month notice period and that's it.
Absolutely.
He's not signed for 3 years or anything like that. So if we were to terminate that contract, he's not going to be worth due like payments of compensation payments of whatever the length of his contract was. He's on a rolling contract, which means there's going to be, yeah, if we were to decide to terminate his contract, yeah, we would not be liable to anything more than maybe like a month's salary, I guess.
Right.
So that is true. That is 100% correct. The thing with the bonuses, who knows exactly what the situation with bonuses are. We know of late that part of the reason we were told that we overspent last season and we went into the red of something like 1.3 million, part of that reason was because of unbudgeted bonus payments for avoiding relegation. So clearly when Wally joined, we assume it's Wally, we assume it's Glyn Hodges who came in with him, we assume it might be some of the players that were signed once Wally was here. We don't know about the existing squad members that were here. I doubt it would be them, but somewhere along the line, bonus payments were agreed to and paid out because we stayed in League One last season. I don't know whether that had any influence on the contract negotiations for Wally as a full-time manager. It might just be sensible business decision to not offer him a long-term contract and offer him one where we wouldn't be liable to huge amounts of compensation should he go, because that is what happened with Neil Ardley. We were still paying off his contract up until the end of last season.
So messy, so murky. Like you say, just listening to you talk about it, it's tough. And Glyn Hodges himself, you know, he said it ruined my day when I got the phone call to say that this has happened. He said, you know, nothing surprises you anymore, but everybody walked in that first meeting completely shell-shocked. Another man who wasn't so shell-shocked, but I guess his day was ruined, was ex-Wombles frontman Kevin Cooper. He spoke to James Sherwood and Brian Statham, on The Score yesterday. James started, as we have in this particular show today, by asking him if Wimbledon have any reasons to be positive.
Yeah, to score two goals away from home normally would be a positive, but like you say, just to hear you say winless run at the minute, it sort of hits your stomach straight away, doesn't it? A winless run at the moment. Yes, it picked up some points here and there, but yeah, positive. Scored two away from home, but you know, you need that win, don't you, to get the confidence going. You know, generally, if you score two away from home, you come away with something. But yeah, Peterborough's a tough place to go. We all know that. And yeah, I knew today would be tough, especially within the week. You know, what happened with Wally must have made it a lot more difficult. But yeah, obviously, listen, as we always say, all the Wimbledon fans are always positive. So, but yeah, it must be tough at the moment from week in, week out, to, you know, to come away from games and even not scoring enough goals, which I think has been a problem. But yeah, positive today, score two goals, but still that horrible feeling of losing is not nice. So
maintaining that positive vibe that you're hoping that the players take on, the fans clearly have to keep hold of that. Games coming up: Rochford, Leyton Orient, Southend, Portsmouth, Burton. Where are you seeing a chink in those games? And which one of those are you thinking we can hang our hat on that one and maybe squeeze 3 points that might drive us on to the next game and give us another chance to get
yeah,
more points?
I know when a side is winless and not on a good run, obviously you're trying to look for that first bit of confidence, maybe get that first 3 points to turn things around. But I think all them games they can be looking at getting something from, because, you know, they have, you know, like I'm not sure... too much about the performance today, but the score two away at Peterborough, you know, it's that is a positive. And like I say, with the games coming up, I did look at that before we come on the phone, and you know, the Rochdales, like you say, Portsmouth, South Ends especially, you've got to be looking at, you know, one end games, pick up a win, and it just, like, you know, in football, it just changes everything, the mentality of everything behind the scenes, the lads in the dressing rooms, the fans, and I just think that's what it needs. And I was quite thankful looking at the next 3 or 4 games, thinking at least it's not, you haven't got in there the Ipswich Towns and Sunderlands that I know we've already played. So I'm taking a positive of one of them games is going to change the seat. You know, like you said at the end of last season, I remember speaking around Christmas time thinking, no, it's not going to happen. You know, they're going to struggle. And they turned it round. So I think it just needs that one win, pick up some confidence. But like you say, at the whole, it's hard to see past anything but just getting that first win, I think. You know, take one game at a time. And if you do get that one win, I think that will change everything. I'm hoping anyway.
Kevin, just looking at this whole situation with Wally Downs, how do you feel about it as a Wimbledon fan? I know some more sceptical people around me have been saying, oh, it just feels like a way of slipping him out nicely because of the current run of form.
You wouldn't like to think that, would you? I think, again, you know what it's like. So, you know, he's been suspended and stuff comes out. But until, you know, I wouldn't like to comment on too much about what's going on there in that way, because you don't know until, what you know, what comes out after, you know, they've looked into it. But it certainly doesn't help that and the club as a whole, does it? But yeah, I don't think it's that angle. I think it's, you know, obviously saying that's, I think the club has shown with Neil Ardley, they stick by people as long as they nick a cat, and, you know, until it's, you know, impossible really to keep someone in the job. But I think they're quite loyal, especially with someone like Wally. He's been around, you know, a long time with Wimbledon. I think, you know, they wouldn't go down that route for sure. But, I just hope it all comes out and it all gets sorted and it gets back in that dressing room, because right now it looks like it's needed.
Fair enough. Sure. So the assistant, Glyn Hodges, took the reins this afternoon. Did you notice anything out of the ordinary that perhaps you didn't recognise from the Wally Downs identity? He did put out the call to the players to pull together. Did you see that from the performance on the pitch, even though he didn't get even anything out of the game a point?
Yeah, I don't think he would have gone in and tried to change things, because Wally comes back in next week and, you know, at the end of the day, he's his manager. So I don't think he would have gone against anything that Wally's been doing recently. I think he would have stuck with what he's been doing. But I think, you know, in anything in life, anything, even in a workplace, if that happens, you all pull together and you sit all in a room, you get yourself together and, you pull people in the right way, is what I'm trying to say. You know, rather than, you know, think about it too much, you've got 3 points to go and get for the club. Wimbledon has a badge. As a football club with a history of, you know, what AFC have done, that's more important than anyone, any individual. And I think, you know, he just needs to get in that dressing room and get, you know, pick everyone up, especially, you know, losing 3-2 today. He's got to G them up this week on a training pitch. And I just think Glenn's obviously great and he's experienced, but I don't think it would have changed anything. I think he'll just try to hopefully get that first win, you know, just that bit of confidence.
Yeah. Does part of you as a fan as well want to see maybe them going back to a basis and shutting up shop a little bit with regards to goals conceded? Because that's 21 now for the season already in 11 games.
Yeah. You know what? As a centre forward, I'd want to play on a side that was getting forward. And I've, you know, so I've never liked that negativity. But you know what? He did it at sort of January time, February time last year and it worked. And I think he might just need to go back to that. But again, he had the goalkeeper on loan at the time. He was, you know, I knew he was unbelievable, and they couldn't keep him. And you just don't, you know, it's these new players settling in, really. But yeah, I wouldn't right now. Even if I was a manager, I'm a very positive, forward-thinking person. I'd want to shut up shop right now, keep clean sheets, and then nick a win if we can. You know,
giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the FC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport. Myself, Matt Beadle, here with Nick Draper from the 9 Years podcast. We are going to now move on to some other business in and around the club, Nick. Something slightly different we're going to finish on.
Yeah. I was just thinking AOB, it's like a Don's Trust meeting.
Is that what gets said?
Yeah.
AOB
at the end of the meeting when it's like 10:30 and everyone wants to go home.
Oh, okay. I might make that a regular thing then every time we finish this show.
We can have that section at the end. So we've got, talking about Don's Trust thing, so just that we've got a week left, apparently, for the Cedars fundraising. I believe their club are saying we've got like 7 days to go, I think. 8 days to go currently. So if you've not yet contributed to the stadium fundraising fund via Cedars, you are running out of time by the sound of things. So please do that if you haven't already. And I include myself in that. So thankfully it was payday on Friday. So, you know. A couple of things I wanted to mention was I'll tell a lie, because there are two things I want to mention. But one of these things I don't really want to mention, but I've been asked to by George Jones. So out of deference to George.
Okay.
Blimey. We are playing in the London Senior Cup on Tuesday.
Of course, yes. He's talked about this a lot on the show.
Yes, we are playing the Met Police at Imbercourt. It's going to be a kickoff at some point between 7 and 8 p.m. I don't know exactly when. Maybe it might be 7:30, might be 7:45. If it's George, he'll be there at 4 anyway.
Well, like we say, this is a chance for a trophy. You know, all good things we focus on.
Yes, it is a chance for a trophy. Yes, I'm not sure if, I don't know. It might be slightly more prestigious than Europa League, I'm not sure. £10 anyway to get into that if you're an adult. If you are not an adult, or if you're the other side of being an adult, like over 65, I think, you can get it for £5.
There we go.
So for all the people that want to do that, you can on Tuesday. More interest to me and myself and many others, I think, is on Thursday at 7:30. There is a memorial game for the mother of one of our former players, Antonia Walker, one of our former academy players. That's at Whiteleaf. Whiteleaf will be playing a sort of AFC Wimbledon old boys team, or old academy team, including players like Alfie Egan will be involved. So that's all to raise money. There is a fundraiser as well, a GoFundMe, I think, that goes alongside that. But what I suggest people do is if you go onto Twitter to AFCW, at AFCW Academy, that will have all the details of that. So, yes, that is on Thursday at Whiteleaf, 7:30 kickoff, if you can make it down there.
Thank you for your AOB, Mr.
No
Draper.
Worries. No problems.
Of course, it is Rochdale next up, currently 18th in League One.
Yes.
They had something of an after the Lord Mayor's show, I guess you could call it, against Wycombe Wanderers, having gone to Old Trafford and taken United to penalties in what was a quite extraordinary result there, even though they lost, to then lose to Wycombe. And listen, it's not uncommon for that to happen, I suppose, when you've been on a decent run in a cup competition and you get such an emphatic performance out of your team during midweek that they then come back to their club campaign, their bread and butter, and the players are slightly deflated somewhat, I suppose. So no great shakes that they lost to Wycombe, who of course are playing well at the moment in the division. But they've not won in four, drawn one and lost three.
Yeah, and this is, for us, a lot. So this is a big game. We need a win. I'd argue our next 2 weeks, Rochdale and Southend, are the two biggest games of the season and also our two most winnable. Now, I know a few people have said that, you know, our form, yes, we're doing poorly, but we've played lots of the teams in the top eight and what have you and all this, but you can't really argue that when you're 11 games into the season. But Rochdale is certainly a team that we expect to be down there fighting, scrapping to stay up. They'll be bottom six, bottom eight as well. We're at home. So we do need to look at this as being 3 points. So, I mean, I don't think we've got an option, really. If we want to stay in the division, you have to win this game. They're not in great form. That worries me slightly because I tend to think that they will also be looking at this being a big game. They're not going to take it lightly by any stretch of the imagination. Their recent record, and especially the number of goals they've conceded recently, means that they're going to be looking at making something of this match as well. So it's a difficult one. But I just think we have to win. We have to win this one. So, and we are due a win, so I think we will get it somehow.
Yes. Yes, Nick. That is what we love to hear. Mm. That's what we want. That's the positivity we've been after, right?
That is. I just want to check. We are playing Rochdale because I was listening to the Kevin Cooper interview and I think the presenter said that we were playing Rochford.
Did he really?
Yes, who I think is like an 80s pop act. So we'll maybe if we win, we'll get a couple of toys as well as 3 points. But
and the key thing here as well is, like you said, Rochdale are down there with you at the moment. Southend down there with you at the moment. They're the next game up. And then Portsmouth kind of down there with you at the moment. So the next three games coming up, obviously sandwiched between that EFL Trophy game with Leyton Orient, are massive. Even though every game now is massive, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I say, the Rochdale Southend away, they are big, big games, and that gives people will stay. That will give us a better indication of where we are. I think we know where we are. I think we know we are a bottom six, bottom seven team. So we're not really learning anything new this season. We're just, if we want to avoid being a bottom three team, we just need to start winning games. We're going to be down there all season. I think some people seem to think that we're going to get a win and then we're going to go on this huge run and pick up and we're going to end up in mid-table. It's not going to be the case. We're going to be down there all season. If we want to stay up, we need to win games like Rochdale at home.
Absolutely, we do. I'm going to finish on a tweet from Jimmy Knight, who said, "I haven't got an issue with what players do in their time off and post on social media. More worrying is the pre-match social media, i.e. videos around the ground. Match days, the players are working. Should be more focused, no phones on match day." I wholeheartedly agree with you, Jimmy. 100%.
So
hear, hear. This has been the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you.
We will see you at 8 p.m. next Sunday after a win over Rochdale. Thank you.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.